Going good, yeah, wonderful. So welcome to all our visitors and to all our church family. It's great that we can gather together in the house of God. This is the second of 53 Sundays of the year already. We're in the second Sunday of the year. You know, last week we spoke about this story about Bartimaeus, the blind man Bartimaeus, and the Lord was passing through. We know that Jesus doesn't do things by accident. He just doesn't go places without a proper mission. And so he's going through on his way to Jerusalem, and he's passing by. There's a commotion that happens, and everybody's running to the Lord, and everybody's chatting and talking. And Bartimaeus, as he's blind, he asks, "What's going on?" And then everybody says, "Jesus is coming by." And so he starts shouting out, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." And so everybody tells him to shut up. You know, you're making noise, X, Y, Z. But he shouts even more. "Come on, Lord, have mercy on me." And then he says, the Lord stopped and said, "Bring him to me." Isn't it interesting that when you want to do something in your life, when you want to move ahead, there are going to be people who will tell you that you cannot do it. The people will say, "You better shut up. Don't bother the Lord." But he was very determined because he recognized that this is possibly my one opportunity to get a hold of the Lord. And as he went, they understand that beggars, people who used to beg for money, would go and they would have a jacket on, a blue jacket. So they had a blue jacket like this on. And so that would, everybody would know that guy with the blue jacket, he's a beggar and he's blind. So anyway, he throws off the jacket, he takes the blue jacket off, and then everybody says, and he moves towards the Lord. And I strongly believe that in 2023, you and I are going to need to make a conscious effort to let go of anything that identifies us, whether it's a self-identity issue that we have, or others have imposed an identity on you that is not the way the Lord identifies you. You are going to have to throw off that jacket. You are going to have to throw things off and move towards the Lord and begin to believe what the Lord has said about you. Amen? Amen. He gets to the Lord. He's blind. So obviously people take him to, this is the Lord Jesus here. And the Lord Jesus, what does the Lord Jesus say? Andrew hasn't read his Bible. So I'll speak on Andrew's behalf. And he says, Lord Jesus says, "What do you want?" Now, this is a blind man. "What do you want? You know I want to see." That's the obvious response. "What do you mean, what do I want?" "I want to be able to see." And then, so the Lord asked him that question, which seemed very obvious. And then he says, "I want to see." If you want anything for God to do anything in your life, be very specific about what you want from the Lord. 2023 is not the year to be messing around, goofing around. It is the year that we are going to be serious with the Lord. And we are going to ask him for the things that we want. Because, you know, the reason why the Lord asked him that question could have been, he could have said, "Look, Lord, if you could just get some very rich people to keep passing by here every day, I am going to be happy." So he wanted to be sure what it was that this man wanted. He could have settled, and the good thing about Bartimaeus, he could have settled for the coins that people were just throwing in. But he said, "You know, I want something more than what I've been getting." If you want something more, you are going to have to do something drastic. Throw off the coat, move towards the Lord, tell him what it is that you want. We heard from my sister. Please clap for my sister again. You know, she did a very good job. Now, I'm very encouraged by that, because if God can do it for her, then he can do it for all of us. And so what we have to do is to say, "Lord, we're praying to the God of Katie. Lord, if he did it for Katie, we pray to her God, and her God helped her, so we know that her God is our God, and he's also going to help us if we are specific." Now, if she just said, "Lord, Yeah, Lord, I just want a good rental. Guess what she'd be doing now? She'd be renting. But she was very specific. I want a house of my own. And that is what the Lord delivered to her. You and I, now that was just the preamble of where we're going today. We are commissioned with a purpose. That means that we've been given a special assignment. Now, it doesn't matter how, of course, we've got some young people in here, how young you are or how old you are. If you're breathing, you have been commissioned with a purpose. There is a specific purpose that God has assigned for you. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, it talks about we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, this word treasure means a deposit that has been placed within us. And Paul, as you read the whole of chapter 4, you understand that he's making it clear that he's speaking of the gospel of Jesus, the word of God. So we have got something special that has been given to us and placed within our hearts. It's not in containers, like a jar of, it's not like in a container of oil or flour or cereal. It's not one of those containers, but it's in earthen containers, like in a physical human body, which means you and I, all of us have got Jesus within us. And so we have to understand that the gospel of the Lord is not, the angels are not the ones that are going to be doing the work. God is going to entrust it to his faithful servants, which is you and I, to preach the gospel, to let other people know. Now imagine if us as Christians who have got this treasure within us do not teach the gospel to other people. What do you think is going to happen? They won't hear. So that means that if you have got a treasure, normally if you've got a treasure, what do you want to do? Well, let me put it this way. If a man, because men will understand this, if a man has got a very beautiful woman, guess what he's telling his friends? You better come check out this chick that I have. She's very nice. That's what we do. I'm letting everybody know, all my friends know, I'm showing off so they can see that the girl that I got is a very good looking girl. You know, so, I mean, I did that, you know, and then everybody sort of like giving you the thumbs up. Ooh, very good. My encouragement for all of us this year is that this be the year that we go for everything that the Lord has for us. What I like about God is that he does not force himself upon us. If you want to be serious with God, he will allow that. If you want to sort of like just chill and hang, guess what? God will still love you. He will allow that as well. The choice is upon us. How do we want to be with the Lord? Is it going to be the same thing over and over again each year, or we're going to want to see something different? If 2022 and the years before were not your best year, then I think that there's a choice that you need to make. And that choice is that I am going to seek the Lord. I am going to be serious with God. I am not going to deviate from the path that God has for me. I'm going to stay on that path, and I'm going to seek him diligently. Amen? So we pick this up in the story in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. I won't read all of it. It'll be up there on the screen. And it says, One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for your journey, instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave the town. Verse 6 says that, so they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. Now, I want to fast forward to Luke 9, verse 37 to 43. And it then says, the next day, this is when Jesus today went onto the mountain with three disciples. And then the transfiguration happened. And then he comes down the mountain and he says, the next day, after they had come down the mountain, a large crowd met Jesus. So all of you, you've come and you've met Jesus. And it says, an evil spirit, then a man in the crowd called out to him, teacher, I beg you to look at my son, my only child. Understand, the reason why this man was very interested in getting help was that it was his only son. Now, maybe I don't know you, even if you, I have got four children. I wouldn't necessarily think that, there's something wrong with this son. Don't worry, I got three more. No. You love your children the same. So you want to make, regardless of what, if it's just one who's sick, I'm going to be seeking the Lord out. I'm not going to say, I got three other kids, so don't worry, the other one can go. No, we don't do that as parents, don't we? We love our children. So we're going to do whatever we can to get our children help. So the father then says, an evil spirit keeps seizing him, making him scream. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It batters him and hardly ever leaves him alone. So understand that this was a very dire situation and very heartbreaking for this father. But because he had probably heard about the Lord Jesus and the disciples, remember that at the beginning of the chapter, the Lord said, you can go out and cast demons. So he would have heard that, hey, there's some 12 guys who cast out demons. So he said, you know, so he would have an expectation that, oh, thank goodness, now I can go get some help from my son. And so he's then saying to Jesus, I begged your disciples to cast out the spirit, but they couldn't do it. And then Jesus said, you faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you and put up with you? Then he said to the man, bring your son here. And as the boy came forward, the demon knocked him to the ground and threw him into a violent convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the spirit and healed the boy. Then he gave him back to his father. And awe gripped the people as they saw this majestic display of God's power. If all of us ever experienced something that is very harsh, and God comes and does something for us, I tell you, we would be awestruck. We would be so like, I cannot believe that this is what the Lord has done for me. When we say we are commissioned for a purpose, power is the ability to accomplish a task, and authority is the right to do it. Power is the ability to accomplish a task, and authority is the right to do it. Jesus gave both to his disciples. He told them, go out and cast out demons and heal the sick. But the most important thing he did was he gave them the ministry of preaching the gospel. Western Australia, the government of Western Australia, through an act of parliament, has given the WA police the power and authority to police this state, which means a police officer can stop you and, if you're driving down the road, stop you and say, look, what's going on? You're speeding. Or can we search your car? We have some suspicion that there's some stuff in your car we want to have a look at. All of us understand authority. So if I was to go into the middle of the road dressed as I am, there's a traffic light as you go left here past the roundabout. There's a traffic light there. If I went right after the service and you all followed me and you just stood on the park and I stood in the middle of the street of that traffic intersection and I began to direct traffic, stop and come, what would people think? What a well-dressed psycho. But if I then go and I put on a police uniform, I've got the high-vis stuff on, and I've got a motorbike on the side. Let's just say I've got the uniform on and the high-vis stuff, gun on my way to the taser, and then I start directing traffic. Maybe I put on the white gloves. All of a sudden, people will begin to follow what I say. Even though I may have got the police uniform from an op shop, they will still follow instructions because they do what? They recognize the authority in the uniform. So we all understand what authority is, but we have been given authority to do great things for the Lord because we are commissioned for a purpose. Our only issue is that we don't exercise that power and that authority. And what happens if you don't exercise that power and authority? What do you think is going to change? Absolutely nothing. We can come here and we're not exercising power and authority, believing that God is going to, we pray for people, that God is going to heal them. Nothing will change if we don't begin to exercise that authority. And that authority is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a situation that has taken place in this story where a father would have heard that there are some 12 guys and there's another one, they're 13, there's their leader and there's 12 guys who are doing amazing things. They're going into villages and they're healing people in the name of Jesus. They are talking about a gospel, but also for people who are bound, they are setting them free for the things that have bound them. And guess what happens? So he goes there with an expectant heart. These guys are going to do it for me. But as he soon finds out, his expectations are not met. I wonder for us, there will come a time, or maybe a time has come in our lives where we can coast. There are certain things that are not a problem for us. We can solve those problems really easily. But there are other problems that are going to require something else. Because we can think we can just come up all the time and we get the same answers we've got all the time. That doesn't happen. So they encounter a situation that is beyond their control, that is beyond their power that they know of. And so what do we do when our expectations are not met? We have to engage our faith. So the father then says to Jesus, the Lord, what's going on here? And he says, I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they could not do it. If you were desperate, and if it was your only child, you'd be bitterly disappointed because the guys that you had put your hope in are not able to deliver. But also Jesus has got expectations on us. His response when the man said that to him was that, you faithless people, how long must I be with you and how long must I put up with you? If I imagine that your phone bill arrives. In fact, your credit card statement or your bank bill, you know, comes. Boom! $600 has gone to Telstra. They've taken the money. You are not going to be very happy. And guess what you do? You get on the phone. And so you start complaining. Look, why did you guys take $600 from my account, XYZ? And so you're very ticked off. They ask you, in fact, you dial the number. It says press number 1. And then it says, okay, press number 3. And then eventually you press the next number. And somebody comes up on the phone. You are anticipating that that person who picked up the phone is going to do what? Is going to help you. That person then says to you, I'm sorry. Or Mr. Andrew says, I'm sorry. I cannot help you. And so in your mind, you're saying, then why did you pick up the phone? Or why don't you send me to somebody else who has the authority to assist me? And so what they then do is they transfer you to somebody else who has the authority to refund you back your $600. So we all understand authority. These guys had the authority to cast out demons. Now, their authority does not work unless they exercise their faith. So here they've been normally dealing or casting out demons, maybe small level demons, but this one refused to go. Could we say that because they'd done it previously, they must have had some level of faith? Had the disciples' faith grown weaker? Probably not. Something else is at play here. Perhaps this particular demon required stronger faith to expel than any demon that had previously dealt with. Maybe the other demons, when I'll just use this as a person. The demon, they went to this one and just say, out in Jesus' name. Whoop! And the demon leaves. This one was rolling all over the place and probably saying some stuff. I ain't coming out. I don't care what you do. I'm not coming out. Because they had never encountered something like this before. I suggest that perhaps all of a sudden, the faith that they had began to retreat, began to diminish, because they had never encountered something like this. In 2023, you are going to encounter some things you've never encountered before. And there's going to be a requirement for exercising some faith. Otherwise, there's going to be, you know, we're going to be in a bit of strife. It would take more faith to cast out a demon when it was making somebody fall to the ground. Carrying on, you know, everybody's watching, it's doing cartwheels. Oh, Charlie, I don't care what you do. You know, da-da-da-da. Donovan, no chance. And then Mr. Andrew comes. No, Andrew, I ain't coming out. And then we get Aaron from the back. He comes and he says, okay, let me try. And he says, nope, I'm not. We bring in Raquel at the back, and then we give her a chance to try and cast it out. Nope, it ain't working. Collectively, the level of faith that we have is going to start to diminish, or the belief that we have will diminish. So it takes more faith to move a mountain than it does to move a molehill. Because the molehill is just like, this is easy, bang. But the mountain is going to require a greater level of faith. And so if Jesus is explaining to the crowd that the key, because the disciples then said afterwards, look, Lord, we've been casting out some other demons. Why couldn't we cast this one out? And the Lord said the key was their level of faith. And he says, this one only comes out through prayer and fasting. What it's saying to us is that there are going to be some things we're going to face in our life. And the Lord is teaching these guys a principle. And the principle here is that stay engaged to the Lord. Stay engaged to God. Because as you pray, as you put aside time to pray to the Lord, as you put aside time to fast, your faith is going to do what? Is going to rise. Because you are communing and you are doing business with the Lord. So it's evident that prayer rooted in faith in Jesus Christ is effective. This is why James says that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, which means it accomplishes thing. And so Jesus is challenging three people: the crowd, the boy's father. You know why? Because the boy's father then said, Lord, if you could you help my son out? And the Lord says, anything is possible to him who believes. And then he says, I believe, help my unbelief. Of all these people, he was the one that was very honest. And so the instruction is that there's an importance, and then of course the disciples, to say the importance of him believing in Jesus as the one who can accomplish things that would otherwise be impossible. Only Jesus can do that. And so we come to a point in our lives where the invitation here and the blueprint that we've been given by the Lord is that get closer to the Lord in 2023. Get closer to the Lord in 2023. God is very gentle with us. He's not forcing himself. It's an open invitation that if you want to deal with the big stuff that is coming, it's not a matter of if, it's always a matter of when. Things are coming that are bigger than what we've ever encountered before. We need to be strong in the Lord. And the way we do that is focusing on prayer and fasting. And fasting really is a time that we set aside, we abstain from food so that we can draw closer to God. And as we do that, our faith begins to do what? Begins to rise. So prayer doesn't change, prayer does not change God, it changes us. As we pray to the Lord, it doesn't change God, it changes us. And so faith in God must grow and develop like a muscle. If I want to, you know, get fitter, of course I've got to go to the gym and I've got to lift weights. And as I lift weights and I exercise and I run around and walk, I'm a walker these days, I don't do any running. I walk, and if I eat good food, vegetables, my body is obviously going to start to change. The fat is going to drop off, and then the muscles start to firm, and then everybody can tell that I go to the gym. Now you probably all can't tell that I go to the gym because those muscles are covered in layers of subcutaneous fat. Eh? My point is this. Just like the muscles grow because of exercise and nutrition, so our faith grows as we spend time with the Lord in prayer and in His Word. So if we're going to be able to face the challenges that are going to come our way, then we need to get deeper with the Lord. Amen? Prayer connects us to God, which causes us to grow. And so we abstain from food and drink. And from next week, Monday, we're going to start Monday the 15th. We're going to start fasting for 3 days. So that's not a lot of time, 3 whole days, for you to do some level of fasting, whichever you choose to do. You may choose to fast the whole 3 days, eat nothing, drink, of course, water in case it's hot. Or you can choose the different types of fast in the Bible where you just eat maybe fruit and vegetables and just drink water, but or abstain from something. What I would ask in 2023, that as a whole church, we get even our kids to do some fasting. Now, I'm not suggesting that you starve your children for 3 days, but I think at the level that they understand, teach them something about abstinence. It might not be food for them. If you want your kids to depend on the Lord, just switch off the Wi-Fi. They'll come running. Because the moment something happens in our house, it says that, what's happening with the Wi-Fi? Everybody who was in their rooms comes out to check what's going on. Then you say, this is the time for us to seek the Lord. You'll get good results, eh, everybody. If we don't teach our children about fasting at a level that they understand, this is going to be lost for them. Because you know what? One day we're going to move on as adults, as parents, and we need to have equipped our children so that they can face the battles for their generation. So that when they face those obstacles, those seemingly insurmountable obstacles, they have the tools necessary to be able to deal with them. Amen? Some examples of fasting in the scriptures in Ezra 8, 21 to 23, it says, Ezra proclaimed a fast. He proclaimed a fast when the Jews faced a hazardous travel situation. As they were returning from the exile in Babylon to Jerusalem, they were afraid that they were going to be ambushed along the way. So saying, Lord, please help us, keep us safe when we travel. But it says that while the desire for safe travel was the immediate reason for the fast, Ezra stated in verse 21 that we might humble ourselves before God to seek from Him the right way for us. That's what we want. We want to seek the Lord from next week, Monday, through prayer and fasting. Lord, we're seeking your direction for 2023. What do you want to do for me and my family? Another example of fasting is when God and people drawing near to Him is in the book of Esther. When the Jews were about to be annihilated and killed, they fasted for 3 days, asking Him for protection. And the Lord delivered them. Another one is when David fasted to seek healing for his sick child. Unfortunately, he fasted 7 days, I think, but his child did not get healed. But what we know that David, during that time, drew closer to the Lord. Drew closer to the Lord. And you know that when he, after his fast, it is indicated that that's when he wrote the book of Psalm 51, where he was expressing his repentance before the Lord for the things that he had done. And the most famous account of fasting that we know is Jesus, when he fasted for 40 consecutive days. That's a long time, eh? 40 days. I mean, they were rebels, these guys. 40 days, no food, no water. You know, maybe the medicine is now advanced and now that they won't necessarily encourage you to do that. Unless, of course, you get doctor's permission. And so when we come to this practice of fasting, what I want us to understand is that if you're somebody who takes medication, go and speak to your doctor. Don't just sort of like say, I have faith in Jesus Christ, you know, and you don't take your pills. Because I mean, he may help you, but he may not help you. So I just think that let's be wise when we do these things. And of course, for our children, do things that they understand. Now, they don't have to just tell them, this is what I'm doing. Let it go in their ear. Just tell them that for the next X number of days, I am going to be fasting. If you see me not eating, this is the reason why. Even though they may not participate, but the fact that you've told them, you are depositing something within their hearts. And those lessons, they stay for a very long time. So his example teaches us that fasting can be instrumental in preparing us for future trials and helping us to overcome temptation. And I just hope, you know, for all of us this year that this is the year that we all draw closer to God. In Psalm, I think, I don't know what Psalm it is, it says, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may have a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. And the reason I say that is, last night I had a friend send me a message and he had gone to work. He'd gone to work and he left last week because he's a fly-in, fly-out guy. Goes to work and they're in the workshop. And one of the work colleagues, when there were people there, dropped down, had a heart attack, and he passed away. Now that told me one thing, that Lord, teach us to number our days so that we can have a heart of wisdom, so that we will know what to do with our days. Because now we're able to reflect and to understand that, you know what, life happens to everybody. It's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. But that is why we need to hold on to the Lord. We need to have our faith in God. May this be the year that we draw closer to the Lord. And next week, Pastor Nami is just going to finish, is going to then speak some more on fasting and encouraging us. And next week when you come in, there are going to be some little cards. There are going to be some cards where you're going to write some things that you want the Lord to do in your life. And what I would ask is that you be very specific about what it is that you want God to do for you. And I hope that the most important thing that you would ask is say, Lord, may I please have a soft heart towards you. And that's a prayer I often pray for myself, is that, Lord, can I have a soft spot for you? Because if the Lord whispers and I have a soft spot for him, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be like, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. A soft spot for God. So if everybody can stand this morning. And I would like this to be the year that you experience freedom, you experience restoration in your relationships, in your families. And we're going to finish off with Isaiah chapter 58. And it's talking about the type of fasting that the Lord wants. It says, shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. tell my people Israel of their sins. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. This is what the people are saying to the Lord. I will tell you why, I respond. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. Now, I want to talk for a moment for those of us who have got parents. You don't call your parents. You come into church, you're raising your hands, you're saying hallelujah and all of that. But you don't look after your parents. You don't call them. No, I get it. I mean, it's weird, actually. You got your parents. Call them, honor them. And sometimes it's not because of what they did to you that might have hurt you. It's because you're doing it to honor the Lord. That we look after our parents. You know, we do all these things, but at the same time, we ill-treat the people that live in our household. And so what good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes, which is the sign of fasting. Is that what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No. This is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Now, this is what he's talking to the nation here. He's talking to not the specific people, but he's talking to the nation as a whole. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. Let's not be those who your relative calls you and you say, God bless you. Think about it. No, if you have the ability, do something. Don't do nothing. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, yes, I am here, he'll quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry. Help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry, restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you'll be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. If you work shifts, and that's your job, come on, you work shifts, no big deal. You know, don't sort of like look at this as a heavy-handed thing. Like I'm saying don't work on a Sunday. But what I'm saying is that take for it what it will. Allow God to speak to you through that. But I'm not saying if that's how you feed your family, I'm not saying stop doing that at all. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord God, that 2023, Father, be the year